follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, it's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Welcome along, I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined this week by Paul Keighley and Maddie Playle, my Racing Post shipmates. And also from Ireland, will he bounce after his spectacular postcast debut when he backed the didn't just tip, the 33-1 winner of the Scottish National? It's welcome back to Niall O'Reilly. He's got all the prizes and hopefully more spectacular winners like that. Okay, what have we got? Really cracking Saturday. Ascot, Lingfield and Haydock, all on ITV. Something for the Jumps fans as well, as some more classic clues. And then on Sunday, we've got the classic trials over in Ireland, plus the French Guineas at Longchamp, back there after 2 years in Deauville. So plenty to get stuck into. Hopefully everyone's fully loaded with wisdom, judgment and winners. We will start at Ascot with the 215. It's Les Ambassadeurs Casino Handicap. Niall, away you go with the show.
Yeah, Thundering Blue is 5-1. Count Calabash is 6-1. Master Singer 7-1. Humble Hero 7-1. Machine Learner 15-2. 9-1 Man Jam and 10-1 Bear.
And obviously, Niall, after your spectacular debut, it will be remiss of anyone else but you to go first. So kick us off with a winner.
The one I like here is Fearsome for Nick Litmanen. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Yep.
He ran a really hot handicap at Epsom last time behind Royal Line, where he travelled really well. He looked booked for third, though he ended up fifth after fading late. So I'm not really sure that the track suited. He's gotten dropped a pain for that run. And all his best form is on the all-weather, which usually translates well to Ascot. So I'm hoping he could at least outrun his price. Charlie Bennett also takes off a handy £3, which can't hurt. And yeah, I think he looks an excellent each way, about a 25-1. We're actually 20-1, sorry.
20-1, but there's some 25s elsewhere, I sense. Skills, who do you think will win this?
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to go for my one. I thought Noah was going to go for my one, Master Singer, because it's only 7-1 with Paddy Power, miles bigger elsewhere. That's just a very interesting horse trained by John Gosden. Last year he won his maiden and John Gosden was going to send him in the King Edward the VII Group 2 at Royal Ascot. He instead ran in a handicap there, went off favourite off a mark of 96, didn't really run particularly well, finished 11th, but only beaten 7.5 lengths. He bolted up at Wolverhampton off a mark of 91 later on in the season. And he's back now, having been gelded. He's on a mark of 93. I'm pretty sure he's gonna end up better than that. He doesn't look the most straightforward horse in the world, but I think he will do well. I think he will run well. I think he will do well. He will run well. just a point. I was having a chat with Race Post Spotlight man Andrew Mount. He's brilliant.
He's a judge, that boy, isn't he? Brilliant. We should get him on 1 week.
Yeah, we should. He's brilliant on stats. One for you here. Draws 1-4. You would think going right-handed round a bend, look, would have a good record. 10 to 12 furlongs since 2012. 12 runners or more, draws 1-4, a 1 from 100.
Whoa!
That brings in, I think, trap one is
Humble Hero.
Runner's Humble Hero. Trap three is Speedo by Boyer. Trap two is Coman. And
trap four is
Western Duke. There you go. So that'd be interesting.
Wow, good stat. Mm.
Maddie, any of those?
Coman was the one I liked. He's about 12, so I think he did really well to win at Lingfield last time. I don't think that track suited him whatsoever. This track would be much better. If you're talking trainers in form, they don't get much better than Mick Shannon. And yeah, I think he's progressive and he's improving. So that's why I'm going to side with Coman.
And you managed to miss out the bit on your notes where it said well drawn.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Let Keels do that bit for me.
We're off and running. 250, the Carey Group Buckhound Stakes. What's the latest betting, please, Niall?
Bersanti is our 6-4 favourite. Mirage Dancer, 100-30. Salouane is 4-1. God Given, 13-2. 8-1 Glencadam Glory and 20-1 Scotland.
Keels, are old Makasalu in, who were on at massive prices in the Derby. Are you going to keep the faith as he turns four?
No, not really. I mean, I didn't think he had a massive amount of scope last year, to be honest, because he's quite small. And Sylvester Kurt, you don't normally associate him with first time out winners as well. They tend to come on for a run. The strange thing about this race is you've got a 6-4 favourite who didn't win last season. You've got a 132nd favourite who didn't win last season. And then you've got Saluan, who lost his last eight. So it's a difficult race. I do think Barsanti has the best form. Got a good write-up in the Racing Post Stable Tour from Roger Varian. He said he's going for the Hardwick again. Varian thought he was unlucky in Hardwick last year when he was second at Idaho, only beating half a length. That's the best form in the race by a mile. So I think he'd probably win, but not a betting race for me.
Do you know what? On Sunday, Kills, it's the 20th anniversary of us two starting to work together. And I never, ever believed you would ever be wearing a tweed jacket. Do you think he rocks that tweed?
Yeah, it's quite nice, isn't it?
It's my wife the worst tweed I've ever seen.
My wife bought that for me, and it's given this bleeding freezing in here. I'm pleased to have it on.
Oh, you look very smart, I think. You're very, very smart indeed. Maddie, who wins this?
Like Kiel said, it's a tricky race. Barsanti's got the best form, but I do think Glen Caddam Glory is the wrong price. I think he's about 8-1. On ratings, he's exactly the same as Salouen and Miraj Janser, who are a lot shorter. Last year's three-year-olds, I think they were pretty good. He's been gelded as well. He's always been a bit of a tricky customer, so that's sure to help him. And again, he was a short price when he won last time, but he did do well to win because it was a bit of a sprint to the line. So I think he's the wrong price and he can show a bit more improvement now.
Righty-ho. And Niall, who's your selection?
I found this a bit tricky. The one I had the least doubts about was the favourite, Barsanti. His run behind Idaho and the Hardwick is by far the best form. Miraj Janser could improve, but will need to. And Sir Michael Stout hasn't had that many winners, despite the fact that his runners are running okay. I like Salouen, but I don't think he wants a mile and a half personally, so it's Barsanti for me.
Okay, two votes for the Jolly. 3.25, the EBF Breeders' Series Fillies Handicap. Wide open, Niall.
Yeah. Urban Fox is our 100-30 favourite. Queen of Time 7-2. Dynamic is 7-2. Tribute Act is 7-1. Red Tea 9-1. Zest 9-1. And 10-1 Bar.
And Maddie, I've made it ladies last, haven't I? Not very gallant of me, but let's see if you can go first this time and make it a winner.
That's fine. Queen of Time is really interesting. She arguably sets the standard, but I'm going to take a chance on Red Tea. I think that horse ran 9-1. She ran a really nice race when she was second at Newmarket to Examiner. And then she proved that no fluke when winning last time at Nottingham. She did well to win there because she would have hated the ground, so she would much prefer these conditions. She's improving, she's tough, and she's consistent. So I'm going to take a chance on her.
Is Red Tea your cup of tea, Niall?
No, the one I really like here
is... Of course
not. The one I really like is Urban Fox, who I think could be absolutely chucked in off a mark of 97. We're obviously 100-30, though I've seen with some other firms they're as big as 7-1, which I think could be absolutely massive. She'll be having her first start for William Haggis, and it's surely significant she's entered in group races later in the season. I think among them is the Pretty Polly Stakes at the Curra. She was entered in the Victoria Cup earlier in the week, which is likely a pointer. They think she's well treated. So in this type of race, I think she's going to be very hard to beat. It wouldn't shock me to see them getting properly stuck into her tomorrow if the vibes are strong, which I think they will be.
And Kiehl's.
Well, echo everything that Niall said there. I mean, Urban Fox was second in the Fred Darling first time out last year. She ran a reasonably close fourth in a couple of listed races here. She was rated 104 at a peak. She's down to 97. That was all for James Tate. She went for 425,000 guineas at the sales last year. She's entered in the Duke of Cambridge and the Pretty Polly. She's running off 97. She's favourite with Paddy Power. I think she should be favourite, and she was a crazy price earlier in the week.
Jolly good. And the big betting heat, the hardest race of the day, 4 o'clock, the Tote Scoop 6 Victoria Cup. 29 runners. A fairly warm two at the front of the field, though, isn't it? What's the latest betting, Niall?
Yeah, Kaiser Sosa is our 6-1 favourite. Louis de Palma is our 7-1. Kinren 10-1. Silent Attack is 12-1. Escobar 12-1. Puvar Magique 12-1. Spanish City 12-1. And 14-1 Bar.
Now then, before we came on air, Maddie said to me, make sure you give me plenty of air time today, Millington, because I'm a much better judge than that mug Kiehl's. So, Maddie, you can go first on this one.
I never said that. I just said I don't want people accusing me that I've stolen Kiehl's' tips, because we were chatting about this race beforehand and we've both gone for the same horse. So Pouvoir Magique, I think, is about 16-1. This horse has been in my tracker forever. Yeah, he's had 5 starts. He's not always been the most straightforward. He's been gelded now, which will help. He showed his potential when winning easily at Newcastle when he was last seen. This is a lot tougher, obviously, but he's one of the most unexposed rivals. horses in the field. 7 furlongs should suit him, and I just think he's got to be better than a mark of 88. I'm really keen on him. I actually had a bet on him yesterday, so fingers crossed Pouvoir Magique can get the business done.
Keels, if you're tipping Pouvoir Magique, you've got to make a better case than that.
No,
fine,
I was winding her up. She's got no chance. No. I do. I do like it. I mean, they sort of found by a roundabout way found the horse's trip, really, because he won a maiden over a mile and two last year, and then went up to a mile and four, got chinned at even money, just didn't stay, and then got dropped and dropped and dropped, and then won a mile handicap at Newcastle on his last start last year, and although he only won by half a length, he'd shot well clear 2 furlongs out. And again, he was paddling, so I think he does. You know, even if his pedigree says otherwise, he wants 7 furlong and a stiff 7 furlong it would be. This is wide open. I actually got a text in a week from a mate who told me that Louis De Palma was working not far off Harry Angel. Now, I routinely ignore all this gossip anyway, but he has gone from 20s earlier in the week to 7-1. Some training feat if he wins that from first run since July 2014. It has to drift tomorrow. Cannot possibly go off that price. I can't see that many people liking him. Other ones I like are Kinrun and Kaiser Soze. They've both got very, very obvious chances. They're all drawn on the same side as well, and I think the pace is probably better over there as well on the low side.
But the main tip is
still going to be Pouvoir Magique, yeah, basically because he's the biggest price out of those ones I mentioned.
2 votes for Pouvoir Magique. Simon Cowell, is it 3 S's?
It's not. I'm going to go for Charles Molson. He was 5th in the race last year. We got slightly hampered and was probably unlucky not to finish closer. The 3rd in that race was Zhu Feng, who won the Hunt Cup on his next start. And the 4th was Shady McCoy, who's now rated £12 higher than he was that day. Charles Molson comes back here off the same mark. Now, he caught my eye earlier in the season, finishing on the bridle on his reappearance at Lingfield. And on his last start, ran over 7 furlongs at Newcastle in what was admittedly a weak race. But that was off a mark of 96, which he won off there. Like I said, he's off 92 here. I can't say that he's chucked in, but if everything falls right for him, I think he'll go very close. And he looks a decent each way bet at 16-1.
Are you worried about being on the other side to all the ones that Kiehl's fences are drawn on, Niall? I mean, with these things, you know what it's like. Everyone kind of makes their mind up that it's going to be this side or that side. And then it all goes wonky and all the judges are left crying because the jockeys decided to go the wrong side.
Yeah, I asked 3 different lads in the team this morning, and 2 of them said one and 1 said the other of where they think you want to be drawn, so I really haven't a clue.
I don't think there's a draw bias, but there could be a pace bias.
I mean, obviously you've got Masham Star on the stand side, and if he gets a sort of cretinous ride that he got last Masham Star, is that right? If he gets the sort of cretinous ride that he got last week at Goodwood and goes too hard, then he might take them along, but you don't know. He's got a jockey that knows the horse better now. So.
Okay, jolly good. Right, anything else at Ascot that isn't your nap? Mads, what have you got for us?
Just keep an eye on Cutting Edge in the last. He's a half-brother to Washington, D.C. He's not been seen since a long, long time, but he's been gelded. I think he could potentially be better than a mark of 76.
Kills anything at Ascot?
Yeah, there were 2 horses in the last, which is 5-10. Interestingly, one's Imagineif, ridden by Sylvester de Souza. He's 2 from 10 from the trainer with 3 seconds. And he was 3rd to Rapid Applause up at Hamilton. Rapid Applause is a horse that I think is going places as a sprinter, really improving again. But the other one in the race is Tricky Dicky. He's very interesting. I like backing horses with all-weather form. Coming to Ascot with a much, much lower turf mark. Although most of his form is at Southall, he did run to a race post rating of 85 when he ran at Newcastle last year. He runs off 72 with Conor Murta taking off £5. So, I mean, he's effectively on a basement sort of mark for a horse that has run to a race post rating of at least 86 on his last 5 starts. I think it could be interesting.
We're going to have about an extra hour. I've just realised this afternoon because there's no DJ today, is there? We're racing through.
Well, we've got plenty to go through, mate. I got a bit of grief from a couple of keyboard warriors last week for tipping so many horses, and thankfully they blocked me. I won, and I thought, all right, I'm going to do it properly this time. So I've got loads today. I actually shudder to think how much money I'm going to lose tomorrow.
Good, excellent. I must say, whenever people talk about keyboard warriors and Twitch abuse, I'm so glad I'm away from all that. Right, Noel. Anything at Ascot without giving away the nap?
No, I'll just stick with the 4 I've talked about.
Okay, let's do Lingfield next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
It's the Big Turf Flat Meeting of the Year at Lingfield, featuring the Oaks and Derby Trial Stakes, and they're the first two races on the card. So we'll start with 155, the Betfred Mobile Oaks Trial Stakes. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power, please, Niall?
Flattering is our 11-8 favourite. Stream Song 7-2. Chichini's 4-1. Lady of Shalott is 8-1. Perfect Clarity is 10-1. And it's 20-1 bar.
And Maddie, that old meanie Aidan O'Brien's hogging it all again, isn't he? He's got the favourite here. Will Flattering do the business?
I think so. Nothing really inspiring much in this race. She looks the right favourite. Really impressive last time out. Still looked a little bit green, so there's probably more improvement to come. It's just really tricky. Obviously, lots of them have just raced and won, so it's hard to evaluate. But yeah, I think Flattering for me.
Kiel's going for the Joel.
No. Have to oppose. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien won this a couple of years ago with Seventh Heaven, so he has run a good horse in the race, but he had a 15-8 shot beaten last year, and he had an 8-11 shot beaten in 2016. Flattering. It looked really good, 10-length winner at Cork, but it might just be Flattering. She was actually more than 2.5 seconds slower than the handicap won by a four-year-old rated 65 and carried £9 more. Half an hour later, so it just might be really, really flattering. There were some very, very interesting.
You go for Britain's most informed trainer.
Britain's most informed trainer, Rafe Beckett. It's very interesting. Cicchini is very interesting because she broke the set a new juvenile track record at Kempton on a debut last year and looked good. But the one I am going to go for is twice the price, Lady of Shalott, for David Simcock, ridden by Jamie Spencer, who has this one ride and then goes off to Ascot to ride Kaiser Sozi and a couple more. She won very nicely at Yarmouth on a novice on a debut by Camelot out of a theatrical mare. It's all middle distance pedigree. I think she won well. There are four once raced winners in this race, and plus there's John Gosden's Stream Song, who was a full sister to Journey. She's a complete nutter by all accounts. Even John Gosden says that, so we don't know what's going to happen with her. But I mean, I think you have to take the favourite on at a short price.
Have you ever met David Simcock? Do you know him?
I haven't, no.
We're playing golf with him
soon.
Yeah,
I know.
He's
a
lovely fella.
Yeah,
really nice bloke.
Look forward to it.
Okay, who wins the Oaks Trial, Niall?
I'm going to echo a lot of what Paul said regarding the favourite Flattering. I don't fancy her at all. Aidan Ryan has had plenty of shorties beaten in this race in recent years. I know Seven Heaven won it, but apart from that, Cicchini is the one I really like here. I think she's a bet against Flattering. As Paul said, she broke the juvenile track record over a mile on her only start. Rafe Beckett has won two of the last five runnings of this, and he tends to target it with his best filly, which bodes well. So it's Cicchini for me.
Do you know also, Noel, six of King Rafe's last nine runners have won. He is absolutely bang in form. So that's encouraging, isn't it? 2:30, the Betfred Derby Trial Stakes. Yet another trial with an Aidan O'Brien favourite, Niall.
Yeah, it's a Kew Gardens, who's 6-4 favourite. Corelli is 3-1. Knight to Behold is 13-2. Trave, 7-1. King and Empire, 10-1. Star of Southwold, 10-1. And 14-1 bar.
Okay, now also, if you don't like Aidan's favourite in the Oaks Trial, do you like his favourite in the Derby Trial?
Not particularly. This has obviously got a good chance, but he doesn't look the quickest to me, Kew Gardens. And the one I'm going to take a chance on is Knight to Behold for Ed Dunlop at 13-2. He's only won a maiden over a mile, though I was really impressed with his attitude that day. And given his breeding, he should really improve for this trip, so he'll do each way for me.
And for you, Mads?
Exactly the same. Taking on Kew Gardens, not that keen on him. Knight to Behold, he's really, really nice second in a race at Newbury behind White Mocker, who ran well in the Craven. And then he beat subsequent winner Bow Street when he won at Newmarket. Also had Al Muffrey in behind that day. He was dubbed as an outsider for the Derby at one stage. Quite keen on this Knight to Behold.
Have you ever been to Kew Gardens?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
Should do. Kills, have you ever been to Kew Gardens?
I must have been, but I can't remember. Really? There's a big pub on the corner, isn't there?
There's beautiful, amazing hot houses, tropical plants from all around the world, rivers, statues, and all you can remember is the pub
what
on
can
the
you
corner.
Drink there?
Who wins this?
Obviously, Kew Gardens is actually a slightly bigger price than Flattering, and he has got miles better form than the rest of the ones in the field. He's got a better chance on the book than she has. Your worry with this is that Aidan O'Brien's won 11 horses in this race in the last decade, I think, and none of them have been that good, even the four winners. In fact, I think only one of them won above Group 3 level and for the rest of their careers. Two of the more recent ones are dogging it over hurdles and fences. I mean, we've got to remember, Land of Hope and Glory ran in this race, and he ran in a race in December over fences, and he unseated early. And he roared up around the outside, and then as soon as he got to the leader, he ducked in behind it, and he did that three times. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, some of these horses will
end up over hurdles. This could be a triumph hurdle.
It could be, basically. He will be a long, long way down the Ballydore pecking order if he's running in this race. That's what I get from the horses he's running this in the past. So I think you have to take him on. And I came to the conclusion Knight to Behold was one as well. Harry Dunlop said last year that he was working very well with a horse of his called Fighting Irish. He won a Group 2 over 6 furlong at Maison Lafitte last year, beat Nebo. Now, this horse is bred all about stamina, so to be working well with a horse over 6 furlongs suggests he's got a fair amount of ability, so I take a chance with him.
OK, and the other decent race on the card at Lingfield is the Group 3 Betfred Supports Jack Berryhouse Chartwell Stakes for fillies. What's the latest betting here, please, Niall?
One Master is our 4-1 favourite, Tommy Wrist 9-2, Tijanus 5-1, Hunana 11-2, Unforgettable Philly 13-2, Lincoln Rock 7-1, and 8-1 Bar.
Tricky old heat this, Kills. Have you sussed it?
Yeah, I think so. I can't have One Master, William Haggis, even with Ryan Moore on board. I mean, one on soft ground last year and good at soft, taken out because of good ground at Newmarket, and this is going to be very fast. It's apparently as a high as going stick reading from years at Lingfield, so it is going to be very fast. Normally what happens is they, you know, the horse stalls are in the centre, but they want to come stand side for that rail. And the front runner is Lincoln Rocks, and I think she will get it first and stay there.
Lincoln Rocks for Kills. Who for you, Madison?
I was surprised.
You're not Madison, are you? What? No. Are you, what's Maddie short for?
Madeline,
sorry.
Don't call me that, definitely not. Okay. Right, I like Tomaris, but I'm going to go with Unforgettable Filly. I thought she was a big price. Second in the Nell Gwyn, sixth in the 1,000 Guineas, won the German 1,000 Guineas. She'll love this better surface. Forget her runner in the Sceptre, that would have been on softer ground than she would have liked. I think she's £4 clearer of the rest on ratings, so I just think she was a bit of a big price.
Fab and Niall, who's your fancy?
Yeah, I only looked at this race for the first time all week about an hour ago, and I gave Tommy Wrist a big cut. I think she could go off favourite if she's anywhere near her best. The Kempton race at Hunena, one I thought looked really weak, so I'm not keen on her or La Figlia, who was in that race as well. And I'm not keen on the three-year-olds either, who were beaten by a really average horse in Dan's Dream last time. So yeah, it's Tommy Wrist for me.
Righty-ho, let's switch to Haydock and jumps. The 3.10, it's one of the highlights of the summer jumping. It's the Potence Network Swinton Handicap Hurdle, competitive as ever, as I'm sure Niall's recital of the betting will tell us.
Yeah, Chesterfield is 6-1, Active Valor 8-1, Capitaine 9-1, Silver Streak 9-1, The Unit 10-1, Optimus Prime 10-1, Fort Bridge 10-1, Havana Beat 10-1, and 11-1 Bar.
All yours, Maddie.
Optimus Prime for me, second off the same mark in this last year. He's improved over fences since. They've clearly been waiting for the good ground with him. He was second to Footpad last time. Dan Skelton, I'm going to mention another one of his horses later on, but they're in amazing form. Yeah, Optimus Prime.
Kills?
This race has just done my head in all week. I sent a text to a mate of mine and said, Active Valor's 20-1, so it should be fab. We've got to get on this. Got a text back, that's because it's running in the Chester Cup, you pillock.
I bet he didn't say pillock if it's what I think.
Well, no, he didn't. Yeah. But it was, you know, he was 18 and 17 get in, and of course, none came out. So of course, he re-roots here, he's nearly favourite. He's carrying 10-1, he's got Bryony Foss taking another £3 off. He travels so well. I mean, he was all over the winner of that race in the last day of the season at Sandown last time, but that was in soft ground. He didn't get home. I think he'll go very close, but, you know, we missed all the prices now. I was going to tip him up in the weekend. I ended up tipping two others. Another one of Paul Nichols' Capitaine, who was £12 low over hurdles and over fences, and likes soft ground and travels well. I think he'll run well. And Evan Williams, Silver Streaks, probably still a bit of value in him now. He won very easily earlier in the season, was second in the Ladbroke. It's just been running on bad ground that he doesn't like since. And, you know, I think with good ground, we'll see a better horse. It'll annoy me if Active Valor wins. I think he should be favourite.
Just have a little bet on him.
Yeah, well, I will do, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I've already backed a couple. So, but Silver Streak, yeah, I'll have a few quid each way on him.
OK, and who are you going to back, Niall?
Yeah, I really like Silver Streak here. As Paul said, he's been running on bad ground for most of the year, and I've actually always had this race in mind for him, given the way the ground normally is at this time of year. Evan Williams has won three of the last five runnings of the race, all with similar types, who are ex-flat horses. He's off just £2 higher than he was when he ran in the Ladbroke, where I think he just ran into one on ground softer than ideal. I think this track suits speedy types, which he is. And with the ground the way it is, I think he looks set to run a huge race. I think he could be the bet of the weekend, to be honest.
Oh, excellent. Confidence from the boy O'Reilly there. Right then, it's roundup time, and given Kills has got a great big bit of paper with a million different horses. Kills, I guess with all those horses, it's the names than the races rather than the reasoning, although obviously we do want you to flesh them out a little bit. I go quick anyway. Go on, DJ.
Right with me. Hey, Doc, there's two. Wait for Me is obviously a good ground horse. I've just been waiting for him to run 3 mile good ground. He should have won the Swinton a few years ago, actually, but he pulled too hard, but he's settled now. I will save on Ennis Goffey Oscar because I think he won, you know, I was going to say Alex Lavelle instead of Emma Lavelle. Alex, former deputy sports editor.
Now the editor of the Melbourne Age.
Yeah. No, Emma Lavelle's Ennis Goffey Oscar really likes fast ground as well and is better than he showed at Sandown last time. In a 3:45 on the flat of Haydock, Intisab ran really well in the all-weather sprint championship. I think he's going to take some beating there in the sprint there. Mubtazism in the 4:20. I think he's crying out for an extra furlong. 7 furlong at Haydock, has run well both starts at Haydock, winning one, third to Harry Angel in the other. 5:25 Midnight Shot, Charlie Longsden's another horse that's been waiting for good ground, went out like a light at Sandown last time, but the ground was too soft for him. He'll like this and he'll go well. That's it for Saturday.
That's it for Sunday. Lovely, blimey, yeah. That was shorter than I expected. Maddie, who's in your roundup?
Just the one, Red Tornado in the 7:30 at Warwick. He won the summer handicap hurdle of £2 higher in 2016. He was second in the same race off £3 higher again. Skelton, a horse that's just going to be waiting for good ground, and I think he could run really well.
Hang on, I'm coming back. I forgot one.
Go on.
7:30 at Warwick, Fiddux, another one of my cliff horses. I've been absolutely dying to see this horse on good ground. He finally gets it. Last time he ran on good ground was April 2017. Was beaten 10 lengths, but was third to Call Me Lord. He was only getting £2 off him. If they ran again, Call Me Lord would have to give him £29. The second was Dolos, who was now rated 152 over fences, and they were running off the same weight. Fiddux runs off 1-3-1. Must win tomorrow, or I'll give up on him.
Okay, and Niall, who have you got for us?
Yeah, I actually forgot to mention one in the Swinton that I think is a big price each way. All set to go. It's trained by Kevin Frost. He's been running on bad ground as well all winter. It's the first time he's getting decent ground for a while. And he was second in the race to Guafa a few years ago. So 25-1, he could be second to Silver Streak. At Tursk in the 6:45 title watch for John Joe O'Neill has been very unlucky in his last two starts, particularly last time when he came from way back off a slow pace. The time from lads gave him a sectional upgrade for that run, and he's also had a recent wind up which could improve him again. There's plenty of pace on in the race, which I think would suit his style, and I think he could win this. I think he'll be around 4-1, any bigger, and he's definitely a bet. In the 3:20 to Curra, I thought this looked a really average race, and Kalang Rock comes over from the UK, and he's really interesting. He looked to be really improving last time, where he beat a decent yard sticking Alpha Delfini. And I think he'll be a force in the sprint division this year, so he ought to be winning this. Again, I'm not sure what price he's going to be. Likely around favourite. I'd say around 2-1, but he looks a certainty to me.
Okay, if you watch this back on the video, I look at my watch at one point. I'm not doing it to hurry you up or because I'm bored. My Fitbit vibrated. I think it told me to do some exercise. So that's what explained that. Okay, it does keep doing that. I must do some exercise. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Maddie.
I really, really like Knight to Behold, but I'm going to go with Pouvoir Magique.
In the?
Victoria Cup.
Which is when?
4 o'clock
come on,
Ascot.
You host these things.
4 o'clock at
Ascot. When they don't come up with these things. Kills.
3:25 Urban Fox at Ascot.
And Niall, after your 33-1 nap last time, it's a hard act to follow. Who's it going to be?
3:10 Haydock Silver Streak.
Lovely stuff. Let's do Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Maddie Playle, Paul Keeley and Paddy Powers, Niall O'Reilly. We've got some really good stuff to get stuck into for Sunday. Leopardstown have got the Classic Trials. There's the Guineas at Longchamp, and Kills has got loads of other horses for us. They're racing at Killarney, Ludlow, Plumpton and Southwell. So let's kick off with Leopardstown first, the 2:35, the Amethyst Stakes. Niall O'Reilly, who wins this?
To be honest, I don't really have a strong opinion on this race. I couldn't figure it out at all. Will I move on to the 310 for myself, or will I let someone else
go? No, we'll see if Kiehl's can crack the amethyst. Kiehl's, what colour is an amethyst? Do you know?
Absolutely no idea.
No?
It's got to be blue, hasn't it?
Nope, it's purple.
Oh. Yeah.
Who wins it, Kiehl's?
I think Tribal Beat or True Valor are the ones to beat. The old boys, Gordon or Boyer and Byron and Brendan Bracken, both want soft ground. I quite like Tribal Beat if he's at his best first time up. He only managed one run last year, but even though he finished 5th for 6, it wasn't that bad against Custom Cut. He wasn't beaten far. Hopefully he'll have a full season this year.
Okay, Maddie?
Yeah, tough race. I'm with Niall, really. Nothing strong jumping out at me, but True Valor, he's got to overcome a bit of an absence, but he was 2nd to Soudoir over this course and distance last season, 8th in the Jersey as well. So if he's fully wound up back from a break, he should be the one to side with.
Okay, let's see if we can get some more classic clues for the other two races at Leopardstown. We're going to look at the 310s, Derrinstown Stud Even, 1,000 Guineas Trial. And Niall, do you fancy anything here?
Yeah, I actually really like one here. Algebra, it's trained by Kevin Prendergast. Now, it's probably foolish to oppose Aidan O'Brien in these races, but I've been following this horse since last season. She ran a massive race on debut behind a horse called Contingent, with both miles clear for good field. She reappeared at Dundalk, where she was very workmanlike when winning a maiden. But she's a half-sister to Autad, who came into his own as a three-year-old, which bodes well. And I think she'll give Magical something to think about. I'd say she'd be a big price, probably 16-1.
Wow. Excellent. Love that. Maddie?
I looked at Algebra. Wouldn't expect it to be 16 to 1. That would be a big price. Again, you've mentioned she is a half-sister to Autad. You've got some really nicely bred types in here. Chiara Luna is out of Princess Highway, the good horse for Dermot World. The one I looked at was Mary Tudor. She won the Southspill Stakes really, really easily last time. She's dropping back in trip, but she did run well in good company last year. So again, it's just more of an each-way shot.
Okay, Kiehl's got one for us.
Yeah, well, you'd think Magical, because her two-year-old form is so much better than these, you'd think she might be quite short, but Aidan O'Brien tried her in Blinkers first time this season, and she could finish 4th. And now he's putting cheek pieces on, so he's obviously concerned she's not putting it all in. I thought Harvest for the Well got a really nice talk up by Fozzie Stack after winning Honour's Return, and they brought Jamie Spencer over to ride. I would take a chance on that, but I certainly wouldn't be having too much on.
Okay, and the 340 is the Derrinstown Stud Derby Trial. Niall, away you go. You go first.
Again, I'm going to oppose the O'Brien horses here and put up the King, who's trained by Jessica Harrington. Again, he's only won a maiden on his second start. We absolutely hammered Imaging, who has given the form a strong look since. If he's improved since, then I think he could have a massive chance here, and he'd be the each way bet against the market principles for me.
Just think of all those silly names racehorses get. If people knew that the King was available, you'd just call it, wouldn't you? It's a fantastic name, man. Will the King reign supreme here, Maddie, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I'm a real big fan of Imaging, and obviously he beat him pretty easily when we last saw him. I would say on the O'Brien horses, jockey bookings suggest that they think the Pentagon will reverse the Ballysacks form with Nelson, but I'd just stick with Nelson. He beat him and Alana Roosevelt last time. I think he can do again, but from a punting perspective, it's the King for me as well.
And who for you, Kiehl's?
Yeah, I think I'd stick with Nelson, to be honest. I remember it's the same jockey on Nelson as before, with Jamie Heffernan now going to the Pentagon. Ryan Moore was on that when they were first, second and third last time. But I think Nelson did everything right, and it is probably the one to beat. I wouldn't mind betting the Pentagon go off favourite, even though he's been beaten a long way. Obviously, the ground is very different. He was very much talked up early on in the season. We'll have to wait and see. But it's not really a betting race for me, but I'd stick with Nelson.
Niall, what's the latest on the Derby at this stage?
Saxon Warriors are 10 to 11 favourites. Nelson's the second favourite at 12 to 1. And obviously the mover during the week was Young Rascal. He was 66 to 1 a couple of weeks ago. He's into 12 now.
Are you going to oppose the Fav at this stage, Niall, or do you think he's an absolute certainty?
I think he'll definitely win. If I was going to back something each way, it'd be Young Rascal. He looks certain to line up, whereas the likes of Alarcam might go to France. Young Rascal, I think he's owned by Investec, who sponsored the Derby, or the guy who owns Investec. So if I was going to back something each way, it'd be him.
You need to get a Without Saxon Warrior Market up pronto. That'd be a very competitive heat, wouldn't it? Maddie, how are you seeing the derby at this stage?
Yeah, again, shame. Just to echo exactly what Niles said. I backed Young Rascal before he won the Vars, thanks to a good colleague.
What price?
John Cobb, 66s.
No way.
Yeah, got to thank John Cobb for that. Give him a shout out, because he put me onto the horse. I really liked him. He did loads wrong when he was winning that Vars. I think he got stopped two or three times. Still won pretty cosily in the end. I think he'll handle Epsom. Bernard Cantor owns him, as you've said, to do with Investec. So you're sure he's going to run? I think you can get about 12-1 about him now. Don't think it'd be 12-1 on the day. Obviously, Saxon Warrior is the one they've got to beat. But from a price perspective, Young Rascal, yeah, I don't think it'd be 12-1 on the day.
And Kills?
Yeah, Cobby told me about Young Rascal last week. Never had a bean on, though.
I'm getting slightly perturbed.
He told you didn't work in the office.
I went for a drink
with him last week, and he said, I've just had a little few quid on this each way. You want to have a look at it? And I went, yeah, all right. And then I drank another pint and forgot all about it, as I normally do. I think he's got a serious each way chart. I love the way he travelled. Love the way he quickened. Obviously, I think Saxon Warrior win might be a bit special. On pedigree, he's got to be better at a mile and a half than he is at a mile, and he's already bloody good at a mile.
Okay, let's look at the French Guineas, which take place on Sunday at Longchamp after a two-year exile at Deauville. The 235 is the Emirates Poule d'Essai des Poulains, which means colts. So that's the French 2,000 Guineas. What's the latest betting, Niall?
Wouton is our 2-1 favourite. Almeida 5-2. Dice Roll 4-1. US Navy Flag is 10-1, Hageman 12-1, and 14-1 bar.
I wish I could get a little bit more excited about these races. Perhaps, Maddie, you can give me a horse that's going to get me engaged. Go on, what have we got?
A horse, a race in particular. I mean, I think this is between the two that run in the Prix de Fontainebleau. Olmedo, who was just narrowly denied by Wooten. Wooten had the run of the race that day, and by all accounts, Olmedo, he's the bigger price, as Niall just said, but I think he could improve past him. They had Rostropovich in fourth that day, who's obviously gone on to win the D Stakes. As I say, I think that race is key. It'll be one of those two that win, in my opinion, and at the prices, it's got to be Olmedo.
Kills?
I just find it interesting that they're running US Navy Flag here. Obviously, he got beaten out of sight on heavy ground at Leopardstown last time. But you know, anyone with half a brain knew that he wouldn't like that surface. He won the Middle Park last year. He won the Dewhurst last year. He's probably got the best two-year-old form. And with decent ground, I would give him a shot against the French. No idea how good they are. But when two horses finish neck and neck, you know, you think to yourself, they can't be superstars.
Niall, who are you going to back?
Wooten would be sub 2-1, so I'd probably back that if 2-1 or bigger. Wouldn't have a strong opinion, though.
Okay, and how are we betting on the Poule d'Essai des Pouliches, the French 1,000 guineas?
Yeah, Polydream is our 7-2 favourite. Barca is 11-2. Moussis Amica is 11-2. Coeur de Butte is 7-1. Could it be Love 10-1 and 14-1 bar?
And we'll stick with you now for the selection.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in one here called T-Pal. We're 14-1. It's trained by David Simcock. I thought it was interesting he's bringing it over because I was half interested in him for the English 1,000 guineas, interested in her, sorry. So she must have a decent chance here. She's hacked up in a maiden and novice race, barely coming off the bridle at Kenton last time. So she could be pretty decent. I'm willing to take a chance on her. I've seen 25-1 around there, so I definitely back that.
There's a couple of little nods going on there, were there? Are you in agreement there, Kills? Or
no, I was just looking up and down, really.
Nodding off.
I can't say I've got a massive opinion of this. I'd like to see Althea win for Cole Burke, but only because I backed her when she won a nursery last year. Nursery form could be quite important, though, because Bilsdon Brook won a nursery last year.
Okay, and Maddie, have you got the winner?
Exactly the same. Althea at a big price. They are due to get some rain, which will really suit her best form. Comes on soft ground. Carl Burke does really well in France, won the Papin and the Morny last year, with unfortunately in the pre-CG with Quiet Reflection. LT, she finished off last year fifth in the Fillies Mile. That's not bad form. So if they get the range, she could run well at a big price.
Okay, anything else on Sunday, Maddie?
Not so much a tip, but Stormy Island runs in the 220 at Killarney. It'd be really nice to see her winning. She's had a bit of a mishap this year, not done that well. And where is my other one? And a horse that won at Cheltenham as well, again, I'm not sure what price he'll be, the 255 to be lucky. He looked like he could be really smart, and he runs in the handicap herd.
Kills?
I got a couple of Ludlow. We'll start with one of my old cliff horses, Mad Jack Mitten, who Just should have won miles more races than he does, but he needs a strong pace and fast ground, and he hasn't had that for a while, and he'll get that now. He's dropped really down low. I think he's had a wind up. Got to have a big chance with John Joe. Bertie Mont in the 410, another horse has dropped way, way down the weights with Dan Skelton. 18 of Dan Skelton's 25 runners in the new season are finishing the first two. He was just in incredible form, so I give him a chance. He ought to be a fair price. At Plumpton, the old grey Flugzug has dropped down to a winnable mark now, and ran well when third last time. And in the 225 at Surrey, there's a horse of Tom George's called Manila for me, who travels like a dream and never finds anything. And if anything's been crying out for a wind operation, it's this one. It returns to the track after a wind up. And if it doesn't win the 225 at Surrey tomorrow, I will give up on him.
It's on Sunday.
Sunday.
How come you had such a big Sunday study up? You don't normally.
I was working through the night last night, so I had plenty of time.
Oh, good man. Niall, have you got anything else for us on Sunday?
Yeah, just in the 205 Leopardstown, Bucky Larson, trained by Ger Lyons. He was second to Algebra on debut at Dundalk. Now, I'm not sure what happened next time because he was disappointing, but if he can get back to that first run, I think he'd have a massive chance of winning that race.
Do a bit of franking for Algebra later in the afternoon, eh? What are the weekend plans, Niall? Are you grafting or have you got a bit of leisure time?
No, I'm working all weekend. I've had a decent bet on the Eurovision, so I'm ashamed to say I'm on Israel at a bad price, basically, but I'm hoping they do the business still.
All right. Someone told me to back France, so I'm on France in Eurovision. Kills, you had a good study up in Eurovision?
No, mate. Long time since I paid any interest in that.
Are you hosting a Eurovision party this year?
Definitely not.
What are you going to be doing?
Saturday. I've actually got no plans the weekend. Be some punting and some drinking, I suppose.
The publicans of North Surrey will be pleased to hear that, no doubt. And Maddie, what have you got on?
First and foremost, I never got Eurovision, never even watched it once.
I don't blame you.
Don't get it. No, I just, what is it? Yeah. I don't get it. Weekend plans, working in the office on Saturday, and then Sunday I'm off, so we'll just see where life takes me.
Good. Okay, well done, folks. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much for watching or listening. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, do please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes. We're back on Monday. Is that you in the chair Monday, Matt?
Should be, yeah.
Okay, looking back at the weekend and obviously looking ahead to York as well. So join Maddie and the gang for that. Don't forget, we'll be back next Friday for more weekend tipping.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.